Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Hair radio. Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Still go. You don't need experience.
you don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my whole world. I love that thing I look at. I just want your head to turn your kiss.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We have with us a very special legend returning to our broadcast this morning. It is my honor to welcome back the amazing Miss Melba Moore. Good morning, Melba. Good morning.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I have to say, first of all, you were kind enough to grace us with an appearance right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're talking about 5 years ago, so it's been a little while since, you know, we've seen you, but we've been following you.
Right, right.
Literally following you. We've been following you on social media.
Well, I was going to say, that's how you do it on the Internet now. You follow people.
Exactly. This is true. Well, we're so excited. I mean, first of all, you have a big hit record. And so we're honored to have you talking about this right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with just your adoring fans and folks, again, you know, with the audience out there. What can you tell us about your new record and how did it come about? Just doing me.
It's what people call house music, which is a very, 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 very popular dance genre. There's several different genres now. I mean, a lot developed since back in the late 70s, and we had was disco.
Right,
that was
exactly.
Different genres. And probably it's going to develop more since people are kind of shut in and they have, you know, more time to focus on things that, well, we need joy during these times. We need to have something to lift us up, and so we might be dancing around our house, but it's necessary.
That's very true.
I've always considered, you know, entertainment to be something that's kind of a staple. It doesn't come first like your rent and those, you know, loop over your head and stuff, but you have to have joy, you have to have entertainment. And so, like, for this to happen to me, especially as I'm approaching my senior years, is kind of amazing.
Oh, well, listen, let me tell you something. That song, when I heard, I couldn't believe my ears. It kind of, what I love about it, it kind of has a vibe that kind of mixes a whole bunch of genres that we have known in the past with all kinds of new infusions of sounds. I was like, whoa, okay. So this is why I believe, Ms. Moore, that it is connecting with a lot of the youth out there. In my opinion, but it's good for everybody.
One of the things that really strikes me about it is George Pettis's piano solo. That's very reminiscent to me of when we first had modern jazz, and you had people like Horace Silver, Thelonious Monk. I mean, playing the kind of jazz that we had never heard before. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's something you've heard before or not. When you first hear it, it's going to say, oh, look at that. I like that. And I think that's maybe what's connecting with the young people. It's not something you have to have heard before for it to affect you that way.
Exactly. Now, I want to go back. One of the things I remember after our last interview, and it happens every so often, we'll have great guests like yourself. And the moment that we are finished with the interview, I say, oh, I forgot to ask about that. I forgot to bring that up. So I have listened back, and I said, oh, my goodness, I've always wanted to talk to you a little bit more about different things in your amazing career. And to me, and so many others out there, you know, you really came through and got a great position in the entertainment world, which was so, it's rare these days, you know, let alone, you know, several years back where folks were, you know, just not so open and willing to give folks just coming into the industry a chance, and especially people of color. So, yeah, so when you look back at this career, and I've seen all of, well, quite a bit. You've done a lot, okay? You have a true career out there in the entertainment. What do you say when you, even just fans like myself, we all, you know, look back and we ask you, what's the biggest question you kind of get about your career? What do people most want to know about, and I have my suspicion of what I think they most want to know about you, but what do you say? What's the number one question that the fans come up and talk to you about when they get a chance about your career? Because I know what it is, I think.
They usually want to know, when did you really know that you could sing and that you were in control of yourself, that you had it going on? And I can't answer that question because I still don't know that. But that's the number one question. I guess I give off, it's not an illusion, but the sense of being really confident and, you know, having a clear idea of, you know, what the industry is about and just be in charge of things. And it's not that that's not true, but I really feel like I've been led by God because everything that's happened to me, I really didn't know what I was getting into, but it turned out right, and I had a sense, oh, I want to try that.
You were not fearful to try. And
well, I was scared to death, but I went in.
Really? Well, we wouldn't know it. We would not know it. I mean, you really are a trailblazer. You're a trailblazer. And which, you know, that's what we all see and hear. You mention your name, everybody knows who you are, everybody. And what I also want to focus on for a moment is your career on Broadway. And being a Tony Award winner. So that is a big moment.
No, it's huge.
So we have to talk about that. So tell us again, because this was, and these are things that are still rare today in the community out here,
yes.
And they don't
yes.
happen just to any old and everybody. So how did yes. this come about for you, Melba? Tell us how it came about.
Well, I'll try to kind of
give us the
point so I can actually start from the beginning.
Okay.
And skip two things to just give you kind of like a an outline of what happened.
Sure.
My mother was a professional singer, but she had a romantic interlude with my father, who was a big band leader. His name is Teddy Hill. It was Teddy Hill. She got pregnant, had me, and so she was a single parent, which meant I had a broken family like many of us do. And she was out trying to take care of me and her mother, who had had stroke, they were from Bethlehem, Alabama. So she brought her up to New York and had her with me, and we had what we used to call a governess or a nanny.
Yes.
And so my mother was gone all the time, so and I didn't have a father there. So it was like very unstructured, well, like it should be, family. So I was raised by a nanny who was orphaned, illiterate, and from the backwoods of South Carolina, moved from one sharecropper's farm to the other, and somehow made her way up north, and that's who I was raised by. But my mother put me in Catholic school, so I had a great beginning of education in New York City,
yes.
And I think that's why that stayed with me. I'm still born again, and that's my focus, and I think that's why things really happened for me still. but then she married my stepfather, whom she formed a performing act with. He was a piano player, and he just passed away 3 years ago, but at 101 years old.
Wow.
So I only have a a zest for life. Got to hold on. He always said, never give up.
Wow.
And he had a son and a daughter by a former marriage. His first wife had passed away. And I used to pray for a sister and a brother because I wanted siblings and I was very, very lonely. So we moved from New York to New Jersey, where I continued my family life and learning how to be really the first community that you're in is your family. And learning to fellowship. I had now aunts and uncles and cousins. I had a family. I wasn't isolated and disjointed that way. A lot of damage had been done to me from the abuse because there was no father, no mother there. But that was all remedied. And then my parents really insisted that we get a good education. So that continued. But by the time I got to junior high school, well, before that, because he made us all take piano lessons, we discovered I could sing. So he didn't make me take voice lessons. He made sure I continued with my piano lessons. Mm. But by the time we got to junior high school and it was time to figure out where you're going to go to high school, I discovered Arts High School in Newark, and I had fallen so much in love with music that I decided I wanted to see if I could get in there, audition there, and major in music and really focus on music. And I did that, and then when it was time to go to college, I wanted to go to Manhattan School of Music or Juilliard or something like that, but we didn't have the money, and I didn't have the confidence or the information to try out for scholarships, so I went to Montclair Teachers College to major in music education. Makes a long story a little bit short. Then I went into the public schools of Newark, New Jersey to teach music, and I happened to be a gifted teacher, but I didn't want to teach. I wanted to be a performer.
Exactly.
So I asked my dad to take him around to some of his colleagues to get me into the industry as a musician. And one of the first people I met was Valerie Simpson, who was at some music publisher's office, and we were both in the waiting area to meet our prospective people that we were going to see. We exchanged numbers, and she got me started in studio backup singing work, where you sing what used to call oohs and ahs. People have a
they
hire backup singers.
Yes.
So she was at the top of that part of her industry. She's always been a great entrepreneur, too, and great leader, as well as great musician. It was before her and Nick, of course, were married. We were at the very beginning of our careers. And
wow.
And on one of the recording sessions, a very talented musician by the name of Galt McDermott, who was a keyboardist and the composer for the music for the Broadway show Hair, was doing his performance of the music, and he was being assisted by Jim Rado and Jerry Ragney, who were the two male stars of the Broadway show, and they had also written the book and the lyrics for the song, the book for the music, the story, and they were the two stars. And the session went on for about 2 weeks or so. First of all, I was what I call a Black American princess, a bat. Only thing I knew about Dippy is what I had seen on TV. But these two gentlemen, Jim and Jerry, were hippies, and like one of them, he had bright red, bushy, curly hair. He looked like his fingers were stuck in a live drum. He was wild and crazy looking, and he didn't have on no shoes. And to make a long story a little bit shorter, after the session went on for a couple of weeks, he came up and asked me if I would like to do Hair. But I had never seen a Broadway show, and I never heard anything about Hair. So I said, well, I don't have a Bachelor of Arts degree in music to do nobody's hair, so no. And so he explained to me that it was going to be a Broadway show. I said, oh, okay. And that, you know, really basically they had been auditioning for us if we wanted to be a part of it because they were still casting for it. So I went and sang for the director and the producer. I got a part in the show. I wound up doing one of the featured parts, which was a parody on The Supremes. And to make a long story a little shorter, before I left the show, I auditioned for and got the female lead in the show. And so doing, I became the first Black actress to replace a white actress in a lead role on Broadway, but the actress just happened to be Diane Keaton. That's just to give you a little bit of what happened to me. It's not like I knew what I was doing.
Well, that is just
amazing. Learning on the job. And
wow.
Then just to go on how I got into the position of getting a Tony Award, I was reminded by one of the girls in the chorus that I really did not know how to audition because that's not like an audition.
Right.
So she said, you need to learn how to audition. She told me about auditions for what turned out to be my second Broadway show, and she explained to me that when you go up for a role, you try to do some research on it, but you can get a script ahead of time, and you do what they call typecasting, where you try to look like the part.
Hmm.
Well, the part was from the backwoods, illiterate, cotton chopping, sharecropping girl, like the lady who raised me. So I was a shoo-in for that part.
You had a real-life person to draw from. And,
yes.
Wow.
And that's how I got the role, and then eventually, of course, got the Tony Award, and that really catapulted my career into a lot of television work. And after that, I met my later then husband, who really focused and redirected it into the recording industry, and is the reason that I have this wonderful, huge catalog of great, 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 great songs and several different recording hits.
Absolutely. Well, I love the story. Now, let me ask you, though, did having the success on Broadway, how did you avoid being, shall we say, typecast in a sense, that, like, once they say that you're a Broadway actress, a Tony Award-winning actress, we can't market you or cross, you know, move you over to a recording, a successful recording career. How did you avoid that not happening, so to speak?
So it did happen. We
went
to some of the top recording artists who were managers, and they all turned me down. So then my then-husband, Charles Huggins, said, well, let's figure out what we can do ourselves. And we just started inquiring, going to the different festivals and, you know, what do you call, conferences.
Right.
What's going on in the industry and seeing, as a matter of fact, my then-husband got me back into the industry because I had lost everything by then by taking me to the Metropolitan Opera House eventually. We didn't know what we were doing, but we formed it. We then, you know, got people like Dan McCoy to record. He got my record deals for me. The first one was with Mercury Records with the Art Cast. No, that was Buddha Records. And eventually with CBS Records. And he went out and formed what we called Hush Productions to give me a business team. And we became entrepreneurs that way. And we had to do it ourselves because the industry is so racist and so divided that if you didn't fit into that little category, you didn't have a way. So you had to make a way yourself. I don't want to go on and on and on, but that's basically how we started. But eventually we managed most of the R&B recording artists, R&B ones during the 80s. We started like with Freddie Jackson, and he kind of opened the way. And he was a wonderful songwriter, and he was a word processor. He wasn't even in the industry.
I remember those.
Imagine that talent, right? he went out and we got Kashif, we got Paul Lawrence, we managed McFadden and Whitehead.
Wow. That's saying a lot. That is saying, and just an amazing group of artists. Now, I have to say, you really know everybody. You've worked with everybody, or you've had some kind of interaction, or done tours, or what have you. You've done things with folks out there. I mean, I saw the pictures with you and Lena Horne and all these amazing artists, just amazing. Well, they were all in great company as well. But how do you feel now when you see that the industry is, in my words, it's a little different. We'll talk about that. But how do you feel where, you know, those stars are just not so prevalent as much anymore, you know, with that level of just something so, you know, so how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I don't think I agree with you, Carrie. I think it's very, very, very different. But I'll tell you something. For an example, I was one of the wonderfully privileged people to be invited to Oakland House at a celebration of what she called Oprah's Legends. And I was sitting across the picnic table with my daughter. Then this beautiful young lady she had such a soft voice. And I didn't hear her because I was chomping on my chicken wings. My daughter said, Ma, stop, listen. That's Halle Berry. I said, I'm sorry. How you doing?
Wow.
I mean, you know, like today, Halle Berry's like the latter-day Lena Horne.
Yes, she is.
or a
gosh.
Type of, you know.
Oscar-winning Miss Halle Berry.
Like that, or oh, I know, we were having lunch, and, oh, I can't think of her name now, but Oprah said, okay, she had the waiters bring these gifts to us, and they were at the table, and I heard somebody crying, and it was Debbie Allen, and on one
oh
side,
my gosh,
it was Natalie Cole. I said, what's going on? What's wrong? And we opened the box, and it was these huge diamond earrings. And all of us were just gasping. I mean, things have changed a lot, but our icons are amazing. I mean, I've been to see Chaka Khan perform. And I said, how can she do that? But then she has the stamina of a man. She can play the drum.
Oh, I didn't realize Chaka could play the drum. Wow.
We have ridiculous talent today. We have, there's a young lady, I don't know what her name is, but I was just honored at something called Black Women on Broadway, and she's playing the role of Tina Turner. You have to be an actor.
Oh, yes,
in order to
I know who you're talking about. She's just amazing, amazing. Yes.
We don't know her name yet, but I'm sure we will.
Yes, we will. We'll definitely know her name. She looks a lot like Tina, too. I've seen Tina in concert, and I saw the young lady who's playing her part on Broadway, and she's just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And just to be able to move like that, my goodness. Well, you
How
know
about
what?
Is
oh, listen, she is just, she's, isn't she the record holder for Tonys for women? I mean, or
she's
for people, I think.
She ain't got room for them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she is. But I love her as well as her
and
acting,
then,
so.
Every time you turn around, she's on Law and Order. It don't even
That's
have nothing
true.
To do with music.
That's true. And her other show, the one that's on CBS on the series, they have a she does the lawyer show that's out there as well. She's just got a big career. You guys know you can always Google her. Now let me tell you, Melba Moore. First of all, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We're welcoming back a true legend. Just legend across the world of entertainment. The one and only Miss Melba Moore. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day, Miss Moore, to be with us.
Such a pleasure.
All right. Well, now I have to say, let's turn back to this amazing song, Just Do Me. My question, how did it come out of this idea as well about the, because you did mention a little bit at the top of our piece today about the, being at home and kind of being alone and kind of forced to being left to our own devices. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Just Do Me, because we just love this song.
To me, the heart of why it's successful, we had no idea that, you know, the virus and the shutting was going to happen. We did this song quite a long time ago, but sometimes you just have to wait and be patient. You don't know what's going to happen. As far as me, as a senior artist, things are so different. It's not like you have a record company that can control everything, and you have an A&R person, and you have a whole team, and you're not really allowed to go out and do anything with anybody else. It's a very independent, entrepreneurial environment, not just for the entertainment industry. And I have worked with George Pettis, who's just he's the one who's playing the piano on this, but he's a great songwriter. He writes a lot of the songs with his wife Angela Pettis. But the important thing is, see. They didn't ask me how much I was going to pay them. They're artists. They just got together and said, we want to do this. They brought me to their house where he has a studio. And we just, I want you, this is the songs I wrote for you. So we just experimenting, trying to see what's going to work. And I sang this song among many other songs. He took it. He said, well, I'm just going to go see what I want to do with it. Well, I didn't hound him to say what he was going to do. I had never heard of Terry Hunter.
I listened to the remix of it. Yes, I love that. I love it.
Terry Hunter, they do what they call mixes, what I would call the arrangement. Because the drum beats are very, very important to what the feel is going to be, what the dance genre is going to be, the tempos. George took the music and continued to work with it and tweak it and rearrange it. And then I signed a, you know, a little letter of agreement with them that we'll split everything three ways. Other than that, there's really no detailed, complicated contractual agreement. In other words, just honor.
Love it. That's just artistry.
And because they are such geniuses and so great at what they do, and we trust each other, I have this huge hit.
Wow. Well, we're loving it. And we've been running it on right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Just
thank
you and
you.
Me. We love it. We love it, Ms. Melbourne-Moore. We do need to ask you, what's next for you, and what are some of the things out there? I know that you're doing quite a bit of things. Anything you want to kind of give us a little preview on for the fans of the show?
Well, we're kind of watching it each day as we go.
Yes.
And of course, because the song is so successful, it's going to direct a lot of projects that I'll probably be able to do virtually and learn how to, I'm continuing to learn how to do, you know, videographic selfies.
Yes, our favorite thing.
You're going to have to help me out with the hair, okay?
We'll take care of that, Melba. We'll take care of that. And I always say, because we tease you with the last time you were with us, we were like from hair to hair radio, literally.
Right.
So you've done it. You've done it. We're just taking it
one moment at a time, but I have a lot of things that are being offered to me now, and I believe that singing and musical performance is the centerpiece of my life, and it's a calling. It's not just a job, so that when I make that the foundation and the centerpiece, I'm sure I'm going to write books. I'm going to do other merchandising. I'm going to do a clothing line because I pay attention to that, and we work with honor with wonderful people so great things happen. And there's going to be a whole other series of opportunities just online, I think, that didn't exist before. But a lot of other things are going to shut down. They just won't be able to do it because they've been designed for crowds to come in into place, these huge crowds, and you can't really do that anymore. That's going to change a lot. So we're going from day to day.
No, but thank you for that. And I just want to say the last question I have for you today, there was a because you mentioned about being from Newark, New Jersey, and there was, of course, the amazing Houston family. Now, you guys, didn't you know the Houstons and Whitney and her amazing family?
I'm very close friend with Dr. Sissy Houston.
Yes.
And, of course, my heart is still breaking over the passing of Whitney.
Yes.
It was like I lost a family member myself. And but she's been like just I'm laughing because she's so like, what do I call it, real or she's not fancy.
No. Well, Sissy Houston, let me tell you, I had an opportunity to get down to her street naming. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and we, of course,
right.
We're based out of Jersey. So, you know, East Orange and Bloomfield and Newark and all that is in our, you know, in our wheelhouse here. But what I loved about it, she had everybody there performing. And at the street naming ceremony at the New Hope Baptist Church there, and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
And just she's just an incredible voice still. And so
That's
what I love about you. You guys are just, your voices are amazing.
But of course, now, once again, you know, that's a Christian family. That's what's first.
Mm.
That's, they were all gospel singers. And, you know, we kind of understand that God owns it all.
Yes. That's right.
You don't know. You might see Sissy on the moon yet.
Well, we love everybody, the whole family. And Dionne Warwick
has been
on our show.
Yes. You know Dionne's part of that family, right?
Well, Dionne, she's been on the Hair Radio show. Her
right.
sister was, Dee Dee was also on our show twice. So
yes,
I interviewed her twice.
I was a friend of Dee Dee as well.
Yeah. I just love everybody. North Jersey, all that whole area, you guys, we love it. We love it. Miss Melbourne-Moore, anything you want to leave us with today? Anything you want to say before we sign off?
Just be positive like you are. I'll keep your hair tight, baby. Okay.
All right. I'm loving it. All right. Just doing me, Miss Melbourne-Moore. Thank you so much for being with us and taking the time. It really, really means a lot. And we're going to shout out Ryan. Thank you. And thanks so much, Ms. Melbourne-Moore.
All right. Thank you, Carrie.
All right, folks. Stay with us. We got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is my honor to bring back, after 6 or 7 long years, to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the one and only, let me just say this, she is the very first board-certified trichologist in the western part of the United States. Again, it's my honor to welcome back the one and only Dr. Linda Emerson. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show officially.
Good morning, Carrie. Thank you so much for having me back. I am truly, truly honored to be back and to share some information with your listening audience with you.
Absolutely. Well, I've got to explain, because this is the craziest thing in the world. You've actually, our listeners are familiar with you because we've been running the last appearance on this show for almost 10 years. It's been a long time. And I said, it's got to be time to bring Dr. Linda Emerson back to the show. And your information has helped so many listeners around the world who've tuned into the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much for just sharing your knowledge and taking the time to do so with our audience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My pleasure.
Well, you did good. You did good. And I have to say, and one of my favorite things about this is we've been on, the Hair Radio Show's been on in different versions and variations for about 25 years. And the last version has been on for 6 years here on Blog Talk. However, you were on before that, technically. You were actually on before we even launched this show. And since we launched, we're up to about almost 550 shows. So that is just amazing. It's been a while since we've chatted. And even though I've been hearing your voice, so real good stuff. Well, listen, Dr. Emerson, let me go ahead and jump right on in, because first of all, you are a trichologist and a very respected trichologist. You know, long before it's become fashionable for folks to just call themselves, per se, you know, a trichologist, or, you know, being in the field of trichology. You truly, truly have been leading the charge on healthy hair care. But I want to talk about first, let's just, for the listeners who have no idea what trichology is, we have folks who are in the industry as well as who are not. And so, I'm sure, have questions. What is a trichologist? Share that with everybody.
Absolutely. The definition of a trichologist is an expert in hair loss and scalp disorder conditions. So we take hair science to a completely new level. So we're actually getting to the root of the problem microscopically, and we will look at a combination of internal and external factors. And there are so many contributing factors that may occur within an individual. That's why it's so important that it is a case-by-case basis. So I love what I do. This profession has really been very rewarding, just to see the transformations which has occurred with men, women, and children.
That's right, because trichology can affect just about anybody.
Absolutely.
And as you said, and it's hard for us to really, I think the general public, I'll say, to really get a good understanding or wrap their brain around, because it's so, those factors are almost limitless. You know, I mean, or whatever that word, innumerable. There's so many. But what can you say to start folks out? Because I think it's important that we first recognize that we have to take our hair seriously. And by our hair, I mean everybody. I mean, you have to really be focused on doing, you know, taking good care of your hair. And what might that entail, Dr. Emerson?
Absolutely. Hair is a barometer of imbalances within the system. So when a person begins to see any type of physical changes with their hair, breakage, hair shedding, patchy alopecia, when it comes out in patches, these could be oval or round. If your hair texture changes, it becomes more brittle. If it becomes finer, if you just notice just a total change in your hair textures, these are indications that something is wrong. So hair is a barometer, and there could be, you know, for example, there could be a change in medication, which can influence the change in the hair. There could be dietary changes as far as different types of weight loss options. And there's, it seems like every month, Carrie, there's a new weight loss pill or product or procedure.
Or challenge, as we call it.
Or a challenge, yes. And people are always trying to lose weight. They want the quick fix instead of really finding out, well, what is really some of the main contributing causes for this weight gain? Is it poor food choices? Is it, and I'm going to say this, they love sugar. You know, we have consumers, they love sugar. So sugar in the metabolism, that can turn into unhealthy weight gain. So they're just different things, and it's a case-by-case basis. It could be, another example could be lifestyle change. If there is someone who's going through a divorce or a separation, which can lead to depression, which can lead to, you know, other factors in that manner. Lack of exercise. You know, consumers, we need movement in your body. You need movement. So this helps with not only your physical health, but also your mental health. So movement, not only exercising, walking. Walking is one of the easiest and cost-effective ways of exercise. So if you put it into your routine at least 3 to 4, even 5 times per week, be consistent with that movement, and you will be surprised at how your body will respond to weight loss. Also, your joints will get used to being more mobile, and it helps with your digestive system. It's just very, very beneficial.
I love it. This is the kind of information that we need to get out to everybody. Dr. Emerson, would you be kind enough to share with everybody, because a lot of what you were just saying, I was picturing in my head trying to match up the alopecias that kind of, you know, can result from some of these things. And I said, maybe just spend, you know, give us a couple of the top ones, because I know there's so many of those.
Yeah.
And there's some tongue twisters, so please take it away.
Okay, absolutely. Okay, so as you and I were talking about the traction alopecia.
My favorite.
Your favorite. So that is definitely a very common disorder that I see. Now, with traction alopecia, that is excessive pulling of the hair, and it is most commonly from hairstyles and hair care practices.
That's right.
So many of your consumers, you love the braid styles. You want to make sure that the person who's braiding your hair does not use excessive tension. especially around the outer perimeter of your hair. If you braid your own hair, make sure you are very conscientious of not using excessive tension. And then we have the weaves, and then we have the lace front. Those are other things that also can contribute to traction look-alike. So when I say look-alike with the lace front, many of you are using bonding glue. You're using the tape to keep that hair in place. And then we have other adhesives that are being used, which should not be used on the skin and on the outer perimeter. And those types of ingredients can be very, very devastating to the outer perimeter as well. But back to the traction. So we have the weaves, and we have the braids, and then we have other types of hairstyles that cause a little bit of tension there so that the hair looks neat. But the number one thing I would like to emphasize is make sure that there is not excessive tension used in the outer perimeters. If you see any signs of pimples on your scalp, that is an indication that the hair is too tight with that particular hairstyle.
Why is it that we think, and I'm just saying from what I've observed, and even in my, got my own hair done with braids and cornrows and all of that, but why is it that we feel that we want it to look like it's so, you know, all the way in our scalp, literally, like the more, the closer and the tighter it needs to feel that it's not, you know what I mean, it's not tight enough. If you don't feel it, that pressure, you know, so, and that is not necessarily a healthy thing at all to have that kind of thinking. So folks need to be aware of that, especially as you pointed out, and I love that, and that's the outer perimeter of the hair where it is your, very, very sensitive to. Because, see, once that, and this is what happens, because, and I think while we're on a subject, we probably need to speak to that, which is the hair loss, you know, where the edges, you know, is so critical. And so what are some things that we can tell and share with everybody that they can do long before there's ever a problem with their edges? Maybe what's the best way to always take care of your edges? And then for those who may have experienced some hair loss challenges there.
The main thing I would like to emphasize is stop being so focused on your image and consider the health of your hairline. You want to keep the integrity of your hair intact. And that is by not being so focused on the image. It has to be laid down. You know, a lot of people say, I've got to slay my hair. Well, when you slay it, there's an excessive amount of processes, just to be, you know, using a common terminology that is very common that I see. So a lot of times also it could be the person who is either a professional or just a braider. A lot of times that's lack of their knowledge for as proper hair care. They're more focused on the styling. The style looks good on their clients and other consumers. However, the health of their scalp and hair is not important to them.
And that has to be important to you, the client, or the customer, because it's got to be important to somebody if you plan on having hair. Somebody has
absolutely.
To really, you know.
Yes.
And that's the thing.
Because
my thing is also with the, you know, we're looking and these, we see all these wonderful images on TV, and as you said, we've been kind of focused on the imagery, not realizing that some of these styles may not be well suited for our textures. And that is really an important thing. Just because, you know, someone else has a style, it may not work for you. And that is really something that's very, very important.
to get across. Every style is not for everybody because everybody's hair is different, I think, you know, or might react differently or whatever. But, you know, so thank you for that on Trichology. I love that on Traction Alopecia, I should say, and Trichology and Understanding. I love it. Now, you know, you are located where, Dr. Emerson? Where are you based out of?
I am in Arlington, Texas.
Arlington, Texas. Now, Texas has been making a lot of the news in recent weeks and so forth, weather-wise. So first of all, how are you doing out there? And is there anything you could tell us about the folks of Texas and during these weather-troubled times?
Yes, Texas, oh my goodness, we had a winter storm that came in our area, and this is the first time that we've had below degrees that have impacted our entire state with it impacted us. So, personally speaking, I didn't see it for like 2 days, and I did have water. I did light my fireplace. Yes, I had a fireplace, so I lit my fireplace. And I was able to, you know, sometimes you have to go into survival mode.
Right.
So I was able to heat my food in the fireplace. To have my hot meals, yes. Now I had some other food that was ready. I had some sandwiches and, you know, that I made, which was something quick. But I had made some homemade chili on that Sunday before everything was shut down. And I said, I want some chili on Monday. I said, how am I going to heat it up? I don't have any electricity. And so I have a fireplace, which is going to allow me to have some heat. And I used one of my skillets, and it was a done deal.
Wow. So you brought the old Wild West back to life. Oh, my goodness.
And I went into survival mode. Now, I did have an offer from a relative who lives in the area for me to drive
over
to her home. Yes. However, she's like 15 minutes from where I am, and I chose not to drive in those inclement conditions because there was ice everywhere. There was some snow, but there was a lot of ice on the road, and that just does not make for driving conditions to be very safe.
Dr. Emerson, I'm in Brooklyn, New York. And we have listeners all over the country and even outside of America who are tuned in and listening to you right now.
Yeah.
I don't understand, what made this storm so gigantic that it caused such damage to Texas? Like, you know, we face storms all the time here, not by just making comparisons, you know, willy-nilly. But what was it that just made Texas so, you know, damaged and devastated?
Well, the main issue was the agency that was over the electrical system. They decided they were going to stop electricity in certain areas and do a control rolling type of electricity throughout the state, which did not occur. So initially they told us they were going to have like shut off the electricity for between 15-minute to 45-minute so that it would not overload the electrical system.
Okay.
Well, that didn't happen. So a lot of people lost power for, you know, some days, some people the entire week. They had no electricity.
This is very unbelievable.
Yes. And then there's more. So at my home, that's what occurred as far as the survival there. At my business, I had two of my pipes that burst in my business, completely flooded my entire office.
Unreal.
So I had to, so we had to do the cleanup of all that water, and there was so much water throughout my entire business. But my landlord, I have a wonderful landlord, that we were able to extract it very quickly. The pipes, we were able to get those repaired. And so now I'm still in the cleanup process and trying to get up and running. But I will be temporarily closed for several weeks.
Oh, so wow. See, this is where it's unreal.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And is it the state senator who was caught on camera trying to take a trip to Mexico that's all over the news? I said, the senator, elected senator, I was just in shock.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Ted Cruz, yes.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just floored by this story. And it,
yes.
And believe it or not, as of this day, the story's not going away. They are keeping him on the hot seat on this one.
Yes, he's in
and,
the hot
and
seat.
He's definitely in the hot seat and in hot water, literally, because I'm just blown away. And then, you know, blaming it on the kids. I mean, it's just, the story just is horrible from every which way. It's like the worst decision ever.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of bad decisions, Dr. Emerson, and for you guys just joining us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have just a wonderful old friend who you feel like just like a warm blanket, Dr. Emerson. You've been with us. You're so full of knowledge about hair loss and just so successful at what you do, and we just so appreciate you here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've listened to you for many years. And so real excited to have you with us this morning. Just remind everybody, you were the very first board-certified trichologist in the western part of the United States of America. How does that make you feel?
You know, it's wonderful. It feels wonderful to have inspired other trichologists who would like to get into the field and see that there's a need, because there's definitely a need for consumers to get help with their problems. So I'm very, very honored.
Well, we are the true beneficiaries of this amazing experience that you have, and we're very grateful here at the show. Now, I have to say, I was about to lead into one of the biggest stories that is hanging around us. You talk about abuse. You talk about maybe some way that women are under such pressures to keep, you know, to maintain and use different products and this and that, and just not being all that aware. And even if you are aware, but maybe not realizing that your hair, to me, I've always learned, the very first thing I learned, you know, 3 decades ago, if not longer, is that your hair is so precious. It's precious. So that's what I always learned. And anything that's precious, you need to take care of it. That's my opinion about it. But I want to come to the professional. We've got you on here. So Dr. Emerson, what can you say? You've heard about the Gorilla Glue girl. I'm sure everybody in America has heard about this lady. So what do you say? What's your take on the situation?
You know, I had reached out to her to try to assist her even before she, you know, was contacted by the surgeon.
Yeah.
But, and the first thing I said was there's got to be a compound that they need to find out what is the compound that's going to break down the active ingredient in that glue.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the doctor did.
Exactly.
But she definitely was very, very image conscientious, and she made a very bad choice, very, very bad choice. And even after the surgery, I've noticed in less than a week, you know, she got her hair cut, and she has another style, not thinking.
I saw
her scalp is still not healthy. She needs to allow her scalp to heal. And I would absolutely love to analyze the scalp. I have reached out to her numerous times. I would love to analyze her scalp just to see what the overall health looks like.
Yes, because I believe she's going to need, you know, I think if I were in that situation, I think I would have a trichologist would be my best friend. I wouldn't even want to put anything in my, I would be scared to death putting things in my hair.
Yeah.
If I just really would.
Yeah.
I would literally have some version of PTSD or whatever they call it, because to me, this, you know, if this was huge,
And really, it signifies something. I think it means something that this story has gripped so many people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I have to admit, at first I did get a chuckle from it before I knew all the stories and the factors and things. But I had no idea until I really delved into it what was going on here. And then I realized that we have a beautiful young lady who just really made a poor decision. And even if we know nothing else, haven't we all made bad decisions at some point in our lives? Haven't we all looked to have somebody say, now, maybe not this drastic, because to me, when I saw, and she, from what everybody understands, and even from her own mouth, as we've heard in some of these videos, she knew exactly what she was doing. She made that decision. But and when I did my research, to be honest with you, the can of both of the can, you know, the sprays, the descriptions somewhat, in my opinion, were similar. Now, I'm not saying she misunderstood, took one for the other or whatever, you know, by mistake. She did. I don't think she reached and just grabbed the wrong can. But the descriptions, if you are thinking that you're desperate and something says, you know, it's going to hold things in place and you've used it. She admitted she's used it around the house. You know, and she thought that that would be real good. She was just going to come home and wash it out. It doesn't quite work like that, as she found out.
Totally different chemical. Totally different chemical. Some things you do not use on your hair. No, that's one of them.
Yeah, it's still because it's like it's hard to process for us. It really is. That's probably why the story just, you know, has so many legs to it, because it is very difficult for us to put ourselves in that situation. It is, but, you know, but there are a lot of women who are looking, and men, it's not just the women, it's all of us, that I think from time to time we may think that we could just substitute products. And see, when I looked at this spray, the Gorilla Glue, in my opinion, and I just, again, being very positive about this company, because I don't know, you know, the company has been upright, and in my opinion. But when I saw that they tell you exactly the uses, the proper use, and have pictures on their product, as if you couldn't still figure it out by the words. So I couldn't see where it's anything that you could lay blame to these people, in my opinion. So, you know, that's all. But she seems like a lovely young woman who just made a poor decision, and she has. And in my opinion, I believe she's paid the price, because the internet can really make you regret coming and putting it out there. And, you know, so we wish her well. And the doctor, the surgeon who has, he's a friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to shout out Dr. Obeng. Let me just go ahead and put that on out there. He's been featured on our broadcast, and he really had explained exactly what you just said. And broke it all down for us, and all of that. So we certainly wish her well, and wish him well. And I love that she has tried to help his charity by donating the funds that she raised to his charity. And he deals with, you know, folks with the disfigurements and all these things. I mean, really heavy stuff for me. I could barely, like, make it through his site. You know, I'm not a doctor, so I could barely do. But I just love his personality. And his, what is that, where that folks are always looking to help others? Like yourself, Dr. Emerson, not unlike you. So, real good stuff out there.
Yeah,
okay,
thank you.
Yeah, so I just had to get it out there. Now, we started to talk about folks who are looking to embark upon a career in trichology. And so, a lot of folks, again, not all, and I want to make this clear, because if you're not in the hair or beauty industry, you may not realize that hairstylists are not necessarily all that familiar with trichologists to begin with, but they are not trichologists just because they're a hairstylist. Can you explain all of that, Dr. Emerson, because that's an important point.
Absolutely, absolutely. In the field of trichology, okay, so there are different levels now that is available. When I first looked into this particular expertise, there was only one option, which was to become a certified or board certified trichologist. So
yeah.
Now I want your listening audience to know that there is a level which includes the hair loss practitioner.
Yes,
and then there's the certified trichologist, and then there's a board certified trichologist. So there are different levels.
Wow.
And I could use nursing as another example. There are different levels in nursing. Mm. So you have the CNA, and then you have
right.
the LVN, then you have the
registered
CNA, yeah,
as well.
The registered, yeah. And then you have the nurse practitioner. So
that's right.
Just to give a comparison.
And I got to shout out nurses because my mom was an LPN. She was a licensed practical nurse back in the,
okay.
in the old days. So
okay.
I have to shout out the first responders who are doing so much during this
yes,
pandemic time.
Yes,
yes,
absolutely.
Thank you for
absolutely.
Mentioning that.
Absolutely.
So, wow. So, okay, so the different levels of...
So there are different levels, yes. different levels, and you must go to school. You must attend a reputable school which has a program intact for you, in order for you to take your profession to the next level. So a person must be a licensed cosmetologist or barber, and they must
wow.
enroll in a school. So just because you hear the term trichologist, that does not mean that a person may have the credentials in order to assist you. And as you had mentioned earlier, Carrie, you know, some people are using the term very loosely now.
Yes. Yes.
And they may have been dealing with hair loss clients when when they do different types of wigs or different types of hair covering.
Right.
It's totally different. It's totally different. So they're covering up the problem, whereas a trichologist is trying to find out what has caused the problem and is there a resolution to the problem.
Absolutely. What I love about this, I remember decades ago, and when I first kind of got into and doing the hair radio show, I remember going to live events like Bronner Brothers and other shows, even like my own Hair Nation Expo out there years ago, long before, you know, I embarked upon doing live events for the hair community, I
yeah.
remember mentioning the word trichology, and this professionals the hairstylists had no idea what I was talking about at the
yeah.
time. I remember
yeah.
that very well.
Yeah.
And to
yeah.
see it come to where this, and I'm like, hold it. So, you know, so I love what you said about getting the credentials. And
yeah.
the other aspect, Dr. Linda Emerson, if you would be kind enough to explain the difference, because then we have to toss in the dermatologist. So how
yeah.
does the dermatologist, we got the hairstylist, we got
mm-hmm.
the dermatologist, and
yes.
of course we have the trichologist.
Yes.
So how does all this work?
Well, there's a specialist for every part of the body.
Yes.
So with the trichologist, it's a hair and scalp expert. Even though we do network with other professionals. So, for example, if a person is having a scalp infection, that's beyond our realm. So we will refer them to a dermatologist or the medical doctor for that. And then if a person is having a foot issue, they go to a podiatrist. That's not our issue.
And I've got to shout out our big sponsor is Dr. Yolanda Ragless, who is a podiatrist out there, and she does Fix Your Feet. They're hearing all the FixYourFeet.com commercials on our show today, so I just had
awesome.
To. She would never forgive me if I didn't mention that. So go,
so,
go
yeah,
right
so,
in.
Yeah, so absolutely. So we refer, you know, our individuals, some clients need referrals for different issues that they're going through, even a psychologist, even a psychiatrist for certain conditions. There's a condition known as trichotillomania, where a person pulls out their own
yeah.
scalp hair. This is self-inflicted. So
yeah.
the underlying cause must be dealt with by a professional, by a psychiatrist. Now, we can only help externally, but working together – is how that person will get the maximum healing that they need. And that's the main agenda that I take under consideration.
Absolutely. And I love what you just said, working together, because, you know, I've had a lot of folks on the Hair Radio Morning Show over the years, and some come, and there's almost a confrontational attitude towards the dermatologist. And I've, you know, it's either us or them kind of thing, you know, not all, because we've had some amazing psychologists on as well, who certainly that's not what they subscribe to. But it's important that, that's why I love what you said. It's a team, and even for the hairstylist, everybody is on the same team, right?
Right, right.
Awesome. Well, now I've got to turn to your company. I want to talk about Dr. Linda Emerson. You have products. You have your own place out there to assist folks with hair loss. Please talk to us about your amazing business, Dr. Emerson.
Absolutely. So I have had my clinic now for 40 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
I love what I do, servicing men, women, and children who have issues with alopecia, scalp disorder conditions. We also offer different types of treatment therapies that are non-invasive. We've been very successful with transforming the lives of many consumers. We also incorporate two microscopes during the analysis. So we use a polarized microscope as well as a tricholoscope. So this is, again, we're using hair science to see what actually is deficient or lacking within the internal structure of the hair bulb and the hair strand that will help with that transformation. And then we also have our own exclusive product line. We have a manufacturing facility in Texas who manufactures our products. They have done a wonderful job with our own formula. And then we also love to give back. We host an annual scholarship. And this is for a young person who has been diagnosed with alopecia between the ages of 16 through 19 is our niche market. So either they're about to graduate from high school or are currently in the first or second year of college.
Sure, yeah.
So we give a monetary scholarship to them to help them with their education. They must be pursuing a continuing education, either college or a trade school of some kind.
That is awesome.
Thank you. So we're in our eighth year, and we're asking the public to help us spread the word. The deadline is May 31st. We will announce our winner in June, and we will do the advertisement from June through September. And in September is National Alopecia Awareness Month, and that is when we will give our annual scholarship.
I am loving it. And I'm hoping that you will continue to, you know, keep us abreast here on the air. We're going to be having to check in with you on this. I think this is incredible. And
thank you.
So beneficial for the community. So really good stuff and the students. Because, you know, we want to put our best foot forward with these, you know, these young folks who are going to help just make such a difference in, you know, in with the lives of the folks out there. So good stuff. Well, I'm excited. Now, I don't know if we mentioned the name of your clinic. Yeah, share with everybody the name and how we can find out more information.
It is LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. We do have a website, which is hairandscalpessentials.com, hairandscalpessentials.com. Please tune in to our podcast, which is on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. as Dr. Emerson, and we're on dfwiradio.com. We are on all other social medias. You can find us on LinkedIn, on Twitter. We are also on Facebook. We have four different pages, but on Facebook we have a radio page, which is Ask the Hair and Scalp Doctor. We have our business page, which is Hair and Scalp Essentials, and then we have a group page all about hair and scalp issues, and then our other personal page is Linda Emerson. So please connect with us on our website. Oh, let me not forget my YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel.
Oh, Dr. Davis, so you've left no stone unturned. What is your YouTube channel? I love it.
Yes, thank you. So our YouTube channel is Dr. Linda Amerson. Put that in, and I will come right up. And you can look at some of our videos, our testimonials. On our website, we have a long list of testimonials we have received throughout the years, global testimonials. You can read about our magazines. We're journalists for over 74 national magazine publications. So some of you may have read some of our articles and did not realize that I had written those particular articles. Yes.
We are just loving it. And you know what? We're going to continue with these discussions, and we're not waiting 7 more years. We're not waiting. That's not going to happen. We're going to stay involved and on top. And I've got to let the listeners know, and maybe because, you know, we always run back to your amazing original interview here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, which we're going to get on at some point, either before this or after this today for our listeners. But it just reminds me that we have to really, you know, reach out and stay involved on a regular basis. I follow you, and you've got many followers of your own, of course. But I got to remember that, you know, we got to keep you sharing everything with everybody else in our audience. So I want to make certain and stay on top of that. Well, Dr. Amerson, is there anybody, before we close out today, that you'd like to shout out to? Or any last thoughts?
Anyone I'd like to shout out to? I'll shout out to two of my professors in trichology, Dr. Tariq Najoon and Dr. Sandra Baldy. Just to your listening audience, thank you so much for tuning in today. And just please take care of your health during this pandemic that we're going through. Wear your face mask. Please wash your hands and take all of the precautionary measures that the CDC and other health professionals are recommending. And that's how we're going to come out of this positively, because it is just unreal that to date we have, over 500,000
people
that have lost their lives.
Yeah.
So just please take care of yourself and your family, and take your supplements. And that will be my final thought today.
Well, that is just perfect. And there's nothing for me to add to that. Okay. I have to say, Dr. Linda Amerson, again, we just adore you and appreciate you here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Thank you so much for keeping us informed and on all that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I never lost my health. I never lost my praise. And I am still beautiful me.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. It's Wednesday morning, April 6th. Of 2022. It's about 7:23 in the morning as we broadcast live from Brooklyn, New York, to just about everywhere in the world. I'm so excited. Let me bring to the line one of the folks who has been kind of helping us in recent weeks. His name, you guys know already, it's Otto. Otto, good morning. Happy Wednesday. It's our show number 693. Good morning.
Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Doing great, Otto. Yes, it's been just an exciting morning. So far, if you guys are just joining us, then you might have missed our kickoff song early this morning. We had on Prince, of course. And I just love this. What's making the way out there around TV world is a clip that of Prince as a little boy, probably around 10 years old or so. And he was literally on the news. This is the artist, the performing artist, Prince. And he was on the news on TV. And I believe it was the Minneapolis area. And he was defending teachers on camera. And it was amazing. And that was the first time we've had a chance to see him as the, in the public as a little boy. And it was amazing. And so it's still making its way. So you can Google it out there if you didn't see it. So I just felt that was one of the few songs I had on Prince. I said, let me just go ahead and get his big hit, Kiss, on. And that's what we did this morning. Then just a moment ago, or a little while ago, we had on the incredible, and I don't know if you heard this, Otto, but Melba Moore. We dusted off her wonderful interview. And I just love Miss Melba. Love Melba Moore. For you guys who are from a little bit older generation, had you heard of Melba Moore, Otto?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Wonderful. Well, she's won a Tony Award. So that, yeah, that is incredible. You know, being a recording artist as well. And so she's been nominated for Grammys, but she actually won the Tony, which is incredible for most singers. So anyway, what I love about it is that I watch a lot of television from the years gone by. I love classic TV. That's my thing. And so on it, Melba's done so many TV show appearances. So I just love it. I absolutely love it. I see her. She pops up on my TV all the time. So it's great to know that she's been on our Hair Radio Morning Show a couple times. So really nice. So that was her big song, Just Doing Me. So I kind of like it. It has a great vibe to it. So anyway, good morning to you. So happy Wednesday, Otto.
Yes. I like Melba Moore. I never knew. You're so informative, the show, the Hair Radio Morning Show, that, you know, going from the Tony on Broadway and then TV transitioning and then becoming a famous singer, it's
exactly.
A long, successful journey, you know. It was
exactly.
I got a lot out of that. I really did.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's a hard journey. It was a very difficult journey, especially at the time that she did it in her era as an
right.
African-American woman. And that's why I just really tipped my hat to her. We just had on Linda Emerson. I also wanted, you know, we've been doing a lot of the Slapgate coverage a little later on this morning. We have some more, I think, on Slapgate as well in the 8 o'clock hour. But I wanted to get on a few of the trichologists. I wanted to get on some of the hair loss talk that we've been covering long before there was a Slapgate. You know, Hair Radio, we've led the charge on traction alopecia education and all of that and so many other types of hair issues and so forth. So we always try to get on some trichologists. We're in the middle of the industry. So we are for everybody. And speaking of which, we have an amazing returnee who hasn't been with us this week. This is her first time back in a week since we returned from our little production break. I want to say Jaimisha. Jaimisha will be joining us with a brand new edition of Wig Talk. So I'm super, super happy about that. And in just a couple minutes. So, Otto, we've been doing great, really happy. Everything is rolling along. The week is rolling along. I also have some, I want to talk about some of our Hair Radio streaming stars that we'll talk about along the way this morning. So I know you'll be back in just a bit. And we've got a lot more to get to this morning on the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to have you guys just to stay with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston, Tony Terry, and of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
This is a reminder, our live call-in lines are open now. Simply press 1 if you've already dialed in. And remember, we keep the call-in lines open and available throughout the broadcast. Call 516-453-9458. And remember to press 1 if you have a comment or would like to say a shout-out. The Hair Radio Morning Show is your voice in the mornings. Stay with us.
Morning coffee, vanilla lattes to go.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I'm actually on location in downtown Brooklyn. We're talking about New York City, and I'm so excited. Typically, you guys know I'm in the studio, and we are just kind of broadcasting from an enclosed edifice, if you will. Well, today, I'm so excited because as a bonus, we are able to reunite with the one and only Mr. Lonel Williams, who has decided to make an appearance. Lonel, I have to say this. So being out here in New York, what on earth comes to mind now? Because you really are, you're back in the city. So what is this like?
I am loving being back here. The first thing that comes to mind is allergy medication, because I even sound a little nasally. I love being outdoors, but my allergies are just like going nuts. But there's no place like New York. Just the energy, the sun is shining, the vibrance, the diversity. I love all things New York City, even the bad stuff about it.
We never hear anything about that.
Never, never. I haven't seen a rat in the subway yet.
Exactly.
I guess I have to go back on the subway, but yeah, we'll see. No, but I absolutely love being in the city. I just love it.
Well, I gotta say, because we are here in what's the name of this park again?
This is Fort Greene Park in Brooklyn. I can't believe you don't know where this is, but okay.
No,
yeah, Fort Greene Park, Brooklyn. We're in the United States, Carrie.
Okay. Oh, I heard that. Well, you know what? It's true. It's true. Because I guess I'm always inside the studio. Rarely do we get an opportunity to go outside, which is why I really jumped at the chance today to come out and be able to tape and certainly to catch up with Mr. Lonel Williams, who goes so far back, go way, way, way back, and to see what's new and be out amongst the people, literally. And I'm going to put a lot of these pictures onto our fan page at hairradio.com. So you'll be able to go there. I'll post some wonderful little things here with Lonel and all this kind of stuff. So Lonel, so here in New York, give the folks a sense of, like, what you're here with some, you've got some plans. Anything at all you can share with the fans of the, we're going to put them on the spot, folks. Anything you can share with the fans of Hair Radio.
You know, I don't...
you don't kiss and tell.
I don't have any exclusives that I can offer you at this time, but I can just say follow 3OWTV, 3OWTV.com, and any updates or first releases, you know, I'll let you know. But this time, this particular visit for me is really just about enjoyment and catching up with friends. I don't really have... well, I've got a couple of things, actually, a couple of work things, but they're kind of tied into joy. You know, I try to walk that line. If I don't enjoy doing it, then why bother?
Exactly.
So if I can't have some fun out of, make some fun out of it, I don't want to be bothered. So I have some stuff I have planned, but you just have to stay tuned.
Okay, it gets no better than that. I want to thank you, Lonel. Thank you for taking a moment or two. Send us off with some of your positive words of encouragement. Until we meet again on the Hair Radio Morning Show, what do you have to say to everybody?
Live each moment to the fullest. No matter what you're, don't be defined by the appearance of your circumstances. It's just the appearance of it. You've got to see your vision beyond that. See where you want to be. See yourself in that space. And manifest it.
It gets no better than that. The Hair Radio Morning Show, again, thanks Mr. Lonel Williams of 3LWTV.com. Check them out. And again, we'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I have a very
special guest with us today. He comes from the golden era of beauty in New York City. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to welcome the one and only Mr. Fred Nardi of Nardi's Fame Salon. Good morning. Good morning to you, Mr. Nardi.
Good morning. How are you, Carrie?
Well, I'm doing great. It's great to catch up with you again. It's been a while. It's been a while. And we go back a little bit here with you in the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Yeah, quite a few years.
Yes, that's right. Well, listen, I want to talk about those days. I want to talk about the Fame Salon, which was located right here in New York City. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, but there's a far cry from where your salon was located over on 57th Street in Manhattan. I mean, this is quite honestly, this was the most wealthiest zip code in the entire United States of America. So you were located, you know, Nardi's was located in these, just very well identified with 57th Street. How did it feel to be located in that amazing area, you know, right near Bloomingdale's and all of that wonderful good stuff? How did that feel, Mr. Nardi?
Well, the location made it possible for us to serve as our clientele, which we've been basically on 57th Street quite a few times. We have moved location from the, we go back to the 70s.
Wow.
When we first got the first salon on 57 and Madison Avenue, where the IBM building is now. And then from there, we were there quite a few years, and we were always inspired for the big city and hair and the fashion of the New York and all that. Those were really the days of the hairdressing and the Studio 54 and all the good living.
The fancy living, I want to say. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the true golden era. I mean, you, Nardi Shop, I've got to talk about Nardi Salon. You guys serviced everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody. You had a long list of celebrities that includes, you know, that included the likes of Joan Collins and her sister Jackie Collins. And so many others, Anthony Newley, so many others who were associated with that era. And one of a couple of my superstar favorites, too, like Dick Cavett, who is I've learned a lot from watching Dick Cavett's old shows and all of that wonderful good stuff, and so many others, you know, Jill Clayburgh, so
yes,
many others.
Yes.
What can you tell us? Because one of the most famous of your clients, and I understand Madonna also used to go there to get waxes. So some of your most famous clients, probably the most famous of all, was married to one of our presidents, the amazing Jackie Kennedy Onassis.
Yes, yes. She was regular in our salon for many, many years. And she was very low-key going into our salon. She felt so comfortable at our home. There was never any publicity over that until later on in life, you know. And that's why she felt very at home in our place.
Wow. And I remember, you know, because I've been around a while, I remember when she was alive, and she also worked in publishing towards the end. But I was always amazed by the charisma of this woman, and just her strength and beauty and all that fancy, just, you know, just such an amazing lady who was a very family-oriented person. We could all see that. Now, I
yes,
have to
yes.
ask you, yes, because it's not just so much that you were one of, like, the, you know, close hairstylist and beauty, beauty parlor place, so to speak, that she frequented. I mean, she was really someone who believed in your products and what you also had. I mean, she was coming there for a service and a treatment. And so I want you to tell everybody, because not You know, we folks know about Nardi Salon, and we know the history in New York City. But what folks may not realize is that you have a very special product that's out there. And it's been out there. It's the same formula that was used for Ms. Jackie Kennedy Onassis. And
this is
the Nardi Royal Nourishing Cream. I want you to tell the fans of the show about what exactly is Nardi Royal Nourishing Cream.
Well, this cream is it's a special nourishing cream that keeps the skin very youthful and very vibrant, and it's easy to apply and to maintain a young-looking skin. And it's almost like a healing of any impurity created by nature. That this cream, by just using it, it just works wonders. And just the ingredients that it has. And this cream, actually, it was given to us to produce and use it for her. The ingredients were given to her by the Queen of England. And so we reproduced it for her, and she told us to use it as we wish.
Wow.
And that's what we did, and still today I use it for myself and give it to our clients.
Well, I'm going to count myself in that bunch because I'm getting me some Nardi Royal Nourishing Cream. I am. I think this is amazing. And I have to tell you, Fred Nardi, let me just remind everybody, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I'm chatting today with someone who is a very good friend of the Hair Radio Show, and I think you've been with us maybe once or twice before, Mr. Fred Nardi, of the famed Nardi Salon that is so identified with the golden era of New York and beauty, and as you mentioned,
yeah.
Studio 54. And all those wonderful celebs of that era. And I have to say, I'm just blown away at the list that goes on and on and on with the folks who frequented your shop, all of these amazing celebrities. But you guys also worked on everybody. You did, you know, you didn't have to be a superstar to come in and get your hair done. You know, so that is amazing that you were able to mix all those folks. But I believe you guys had some private rooms, am I right? And an upstairs
yes.
and all this stuff.
Yeah, so we had like three floors of our
three
salons.
Three floors.
And, we had different departments, and that's why we choose that spot on 57th Street. It was very easy to access. It was just a walk away from Bloomingdale. And in fact, Miss Bloomingdale used to be also a client of our facialist.
Wow.
And so many other. Even Marcella Borghese, Princess Marcella Borghese was a client of mine when she was in New York. She lived in the East Side.
Wow. Well, one of the gentlemen who, one gentleman who just recently passed here, passed recently, name is Hugh Downs, and you guys remember him from 2020.
Sure. Hugh Downs was also a client.
One of your clients, right? Wow.
Yeah.
So, and amongst many others, actors like Brian Dennehy and all these other amazing folks out there.
Yeah, which sadly, he just passed. Brian
yes.
was a very
yes.
good friend. Brian
well,
Dennehy.
Yes, but this interesting thing, Mr. Nardi, is that the legacy that these actors and all of this, these folks from that era have left us. They've left a treasure trove of work. And I can count you in that group as well, because not only that, with this amazing product that you're doing and the amazing history and legacy of the Nardi Salon, but also you were mentioned in a book. I see some articles on the internet that are just mind-blowing here, but tell us a little bit about the folks who included you in this book, that mentions either the famous salon.
Yes. There was a book that wrote by Jackie Onassis, and they mentioned us because our salon was the place where she would be mostly going for service on a weekly basis.
Wow.
And our name is mentioned on that book, too.
Now, did she drive up? Did she drive herself there, or was she in a big fancy limo? How did she arrive at the salon?
She would come in with a town car that somebody would drive it, and she would just walk into the salon and go to the floor where we'll be serving her. A lot of times after she finished service, she would ask us if he could go to my office, because she liked to make some phone calls privately and just relax for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour.
And no one bothered her in the shop, right? You know how other folks
I would always
and...
open my office for her to go sit down there and do as she wishes.
Wow. So you guys had a great friendship, it seems.
Wow, yes, very.
That is amazing.
And was she also liked and trusted most that nobody in our salon ever snapped a picture of her or ever publicized anything or ever mentioned to anyone when she was alive?
Well, she guarded her privacy. I mean, this is not a secret. We are very much aware she was truly a person who appreciated privacy. And
yes,
she
because
was,
basically when she walked in, she was always with some sort of a raincoat, a scarf over hair, glasses, and she would just, unless you look to see who she is, at times you will know because she was mostly covered.
Yes, yes.
But you could miss her glasses and her walk.
Right, it is unmistakable. It was unmistakable. We're talking about, of course, Jackie Onassis, Jackie Kennedy Onassis. Now, I have to ask you as well, Mr. Nardi, because this we're talking about the golden era of hair and beauty in New York City, in that same zip code of yours, and where 57th Street, mainly where you guys were. And I also had a chance to visit your shop, which was just amazing, and your wonderful family there. But I have to ask you, how has the industry changed? Let's start there. Has the beauty industry changed since your days back with Nardi's to where you see things are now?
Yes, tremendous, especially not even talking about this recently change of this epidemic. Even before, it was changing a lot, where haircuts we become a little more not so glamorous, let's say.
Mm.
The glamour was way different before, where people would go out and show and live a good life, where today it's more hidden away. It's you don't see the glamour as it used to be.
It's almost as if they're hiding it, so to speak.
Right, right. It's a total different way. And the haircuts are also today done differently. They it's kind of different. But I still do my work as my past, and which is more livable today, again. Because it's not about blow-drying hair. It's about cutting the hair properly so that stays well and looks well, even if you don't blow-dry.
Really?
You see, that's the difference of yesterday and today. Today they depend on that blow dry. In fact, there's places that they open just for blow dry.
Right. Well, the blow dry bars that are real popular right now.
Right. It's totally different.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, Mr. Nardi, do you think it's better now, or was it better from the days gone by? Which do you prefer?
Well, the haircuts were much more refined then, and I still do that. And there is a lot of other salons that do that type of work. And every time I see one cut, you could see that they dramatically frame the cut and the shape according to the type of hair and what you're looking for to create. Today they slather here much more. It's almost like they take the body out instead of building in.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is how I think that these folks, it would serve us well in these days and in these times if we can kind of hearken back to some of the amazing, work of Fred Nardi and of the Nardi Salon. We need it so very much, and these are amazing memories that I'll be working with you as well, Mr. Nardi, to capture some of this, not just for our amazing listeners and fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, but also for some readers and things. We're going to be working on some projects. We're going to continue the amazing legacy of Mr. Fred Nardi.
Yes, when you do the next show's
Big expo.
You let me know. I'll come and see you.
I will do that. And you guys heard it right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Fred Nardi is going to come to the next Hair Nation Expo in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And for you guys out there, you know my website is hairnationexpo.biz. Now, if you'd like to connect with Mr. Nardi, you can do so if you've downloaded our Salon TV Network app. There is a place right there, one of the icons, where it says ask a guest or connect with us or ask a question. You'll be able to connect with Mr. Nardi, and we'll be happy to put you in touch with him. With regards to the Nardi Royal Nourishing Cream, you'll be able to get that right here through our app, at our Salon TV Network app store, as well as our hairradio.com store, which is available immediately. So we're very excited. Again, Nardi Royal Nourishing Cream. Mr. Nardi, anything you want to leave with us today? Any last thoughts or hope for changes or anything at all you want to say? I mean, you have such a huge career, a big, big career of your own.
Thank you.
What would you like to tell everybody today before we say goodbye?
Well, I want to say, first of all, to all our clients all over, that we thank you for the beautiful years you gave us. And I still have that same feeling then that I do still my work today. And my clients, they tell me nothing has changed with me. I'm still the same person as I always was, very low-key. And very easy to talk to because I'm not a great spokesperson, but I do better work with my scissors.
Well, listen, I'm going to absolutely sanction what an amazing, amazing talent. And we so appreciate the time that you've taken with us today on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. You got it, Mr. Nardi. Okay, folks, we have got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go, so stay with us, everybody. Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, we're back live. It's Wednesday morning, April 6th of 2022. It's our show number 693. Broadcast number 693 as we broadcast live out of Brooklyn, New York. If you're just joining us, then you may have missed the interview that we just ran with the incredible Fred Nardi of the famed Nardi Salon. And real interesting stuff there. So, Otto, did you happen to hear Fred Nardi of Nardi's
Name
Salon in Manhattan?
Yes, Gary, I did. Actually, I was one of the more powerful ones. I wish I could have taken that experience and go into 57th and Madison, you know. That must have been amazing.
Well, let me tell you, I had a chance, as I mentioned in the piece there, to go out to Nardi's famous salon. And you guys can Google him. He's very well known. And it was just a very interesting to know that he, you know, was specifically handling, you know, Jackie Kennedy, Onassis, you know, styling and stuff. I just, amongst many others, you know, so, and a lot of my favorites, like I said, you know, one of my personal favorites, you know, being in the radio talk show world. So I'm a big fan of, like a lot of these classic stars that we feature on the show. And Dick Cavett, I'm going to say Dick Clark, loved him too, but Dick Cavett, who's still around, incredible talk show, legendary talk show artist. He was one of his clients. So really nice stuff. And I just want to shout out Fred Nardi. He's a great guy. He's actually been right here to our studio, right here in Brooklyn, of all places. So real nice man. And he's onto some big things. He's always gotten some big stuff going on. But his area... And I don't know if you guys have been to New York City, a lot of you folks are not from this neck of the woods, but that area over there, wow, that's all I can say. When I went over there to meet with Fred Nardi and went to a shop and all that, as I said, and met his family, I was blown away at the tree, you know, it's gorgeous. It's literally the most expensive zip code in all of America, period.
It seems that
it says
it
all.
it'd be smart to be seen at Nardi's back in the golden era.
Yes,
that must have been
it's smart to be seen in that area today. It's really nice. That's all I'm going to say. Not quite my neck of the woods here in Brooklyn, but it's not so bad. I should be grateful. I'm very grateful where we are, but... You know, that was really something. And so real good stuff. And, you know, so that's my, you know, that's my one connection out to a Kennedy, so to speak, person, so to speak. And then, you know, but I have an interesting kind of crazy story I'll tell you a little bit about another time. It's kind of related to that. But anyway, back to you, Otto. Good morning. Again, it's middle of the week for us. So just wanted to kind of check in on some things that I wanted to talk about that we kind of didn't get on the show yesterday, which are important. First of all, and I hope you guys have a pen and paper because there's a whole lot to get to, but we won't bore you. We'll just kind of, you know, touch on some things and keep it moving. First, if you guys are starting a podcast, this is for everybody who's in radio and who's in doing podcasts and all of that. I, Otto, have created a wonderful book, but you don't have to read it. You don't have to read it. If you have an interest in learning about how to do a podcast or how to talk on radio or anything in production, I'm going to talk you through it. I figured the best way to teach you about doing a podcast is by kind of creating a podcast. And so I'm so excited that folks have, you know, once I posted this, they were sharing it and asking how can they get a hand, you know, how could they get this book? So get their hands on the book. So I'm so excited. Again, it's an audio book. So, you know, it's not one that you have to sit down and read. You know, it's one that you can just sit down and listen or, you know, while you're working or whatever. It's a great audio book on how to get your podcast going, so how to start a podcast. And if you already have started a podcast, we go over a whole bunch of other things in terms of marketing, how to make your podcast stronger, all those types of things. So I'm real happy about it. And if you, you know, check it out. Go to our website. You'll see some notes there on it. You'll see some references, or give us a call, any of those things, and we'll get you a copy. I think it'll be awesome. So like,
yeah,
give like
a nice edge. A nice edge that you provide there. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Well, you know, I've been doing this for a minute, Otto, as they say around the way. We've been doing this for a little while. And,
right.
You know, I'm happy to share. These are the tips and things that I've learned along the way. You know how you do business and each day you learn something new?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't think you know it all. Each day I learn in different areas, you know. It's each day is a new adventure.
Exactly. And that's exactly what this is. And I've taken all that and kind of, you know, been able to kind of share that in bite-sized pieces. So I'm super, super excited about that. Listen, up next, I want to kind of go ahead and get this on. This is a very, we've been doing a whole bunch of this. I don't know if you've seen this, Otto, but there was a big, big story out there where Will Smith, the actor, slapped Chris Rock Oscars recently. Pat, you know, just a big slap. I call it the big slap. And so we've been talking a lot about the nature of this, how it all emanated from a joke that was made about his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, who was also an actor, about her hair loss condition. And so we've been talking about this, and yes, there's a tongue-in-cheek way we've been referring to it, because first, let me just say this, for folks who may not be familiar with alopecia, we're not making fun of alopecia. And alopecia is not a deadly disease. Let me make sure that folks know it is not a deadly disease. It is a condition. So please understand that. So the whole thing we've been, you know, because of this, and I was just joking with you, of course, unless you've been under a rock, no pun intended, then you've heard about this whole slapgate thing. And so coming up, we have some more commentary on it that you haven't heard from the incredible Statewide Chip, who is one. I love Statewide Chip. He's a rap artist out of Philadelphia who loves hair radio. He pays attention to everything that we're doing, and he gives his real true feeling about it. And then we've invited some folks who you guys know well. A couple of our Vet Talk radio show folks who just recently celebrated their 30th live broadcast. 30. So
Michael Hopkins.
Yes, yeah. Right. Michael Hopkins and Nicole, one of the angels, Michael's angels. We'll get that on in just a moment. It's not long, folks. After that, we're going to talk. We got a lot more to get to on this Wednesday. We have some wonderful surprises on the way. I'll tell you after this, so you don't want to go anywhere. I have an update from one of your favorite guests. We'll talk about that in just a bit. So stay with us, everybody. We've got a lot more to get to. We're going to roll on in with this incredible piece with the Michael Hopkins and all the folks that we just mentioned. So make it a great one right here. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Grab your coffee. Otto, you got your coffee? You got your tea?
I got my coffee, and I'm going to stay tuned and hope the listeners stay tuned also.
Yes, awesome. All right, let's let it rip. All right, stay with us, folks. All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, with me, I have some very special guests on this very special panel taping today on the broadcast. It is my great honor and pleasure to welcome to the show. We're going to say he has his own radio, popular radio broadcast right here, the one and only Michael Hopkins, who is the host of the Vet Talk radio show. Good morning, Michael, and welcome.
How are you this morning, Carrie Hines?
It's a pleasure
to be here this morning.
Yes, awesome to have you. And, of course, I want to say Katrina, who is out of Paris, Texas, and Nicole out of Water Valley, two of Michael's amazing producers on his broadcast. Good morning, Katrina, and good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing just fantastic, Miss Katrina. And Nicole, I want to say welcome to both of you as well. And last but certainly not least, I want to bring back to our line right here. He's been a frequent guest right here on our broadcast and across our network at different times. It's my great honor to welcome, you guys know him. He helped to anchor our coverage for New Year's Eve when we ushered in this past year. So we are just so excited to welcome Statewide Chip Baier to the broadcast this morning. So hello, Statewide Chip, rapper from Philadelphia. We are happy to have you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Yes, it's our pleasure. So listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. First of all, this is a big, big story, and we've been doing quite a few panel discussions about the whole slap that I've called Slapgate. And which is a play on the Watergate thing from way back in the 70s for you guys who may not be aware. But what I'm referring to is this thing that is still playing out in the media at this time that we are going to, talk about this. So I just want to find out, has anyone not seen this slap? Okay. Has anyone not heard the slap, I should probably say, because you can hear
wow.
it everywhere. So why don't we go ahead and lead in with you, Michael Hopkins, host of the popular Vet Talk radio show. You are a veteran, and you help veterans with issues and to file claims and to get to the bottom of their claims issues. So let's start with you. How do you feel about this? I mean, this was, you're not someone, I don't believe that you were sitting down waiting for the Oscars to come on with popcorn and your feet up. So you had to have heard about this later. Did you see this slap play out at all?
Well, yeah, I caught it on.
Okay,
and I
yes.
just.
Hold it. Michael, can you repeat that? I think I lost you a little bit there.
Oh, I was saying I caught it on the news, and the evening news.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of blink my eyes a couple of times and rub them because I couldn't believe what I saw on the TV. I just couldn't believe it because I'm looking at two people that are supposed to be professionals, and they're in the top of their field. And this is what it comes down to. And I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Wow. You said two professionals, so it sounds like you blame kind of both of them. Is that the way I look at it, or do you think one person, Michael Hopkins, is more responsible than the other?
Now, I think, and this is just me, my personal opinion, it was on both sides of the fence, Carrie Hines. That's the way I look at it. To me, you're supposed to stay in character no matter what you're doing. And in an affair like that, you're professional. You're supposed to stay in character. If you had an issue with another person, professionally, it should have been taken away from the stage, away from the cameras.
Right. Yeah.
Let's settle this like two adults. Not, I'm going to get up on a stage on live TV, smack you, then you're going to the smack, is it the smacky? Let's just say the smacky uses profanity to say what just happened to him.
Well, he was the smacker who used the profanity.
Yeah, well, they both did. They didn't show it. I saw another version of it.
Okay, well, let me go back to the original question. Are you team, but do you blame both of them, Michael Hopkins, or are you looking, because it sounds like you were equating both of them. You know, you were saying both are responsible. I just want to make sure that I understand, or are you looking, do you blame one instead of both, or do you blame both?
No, to me, both of them were responsible for what happened. That's what I think.
How so?
Well, apparently there have been some issues between both of them before, so the gentleman, shall we say, decided to say something, to do a joke like he's done before. And apparently to Will Smith and his wife, it didn't go over too well. They may have laughed, but it didn't go over too well from what I'm seeing. And
okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion. What about the way you look at this, Katrina? How do you feel about this situation? Katrina from Paris, Texas, producer on the Vet Talk radio show on our network. Katrina, when you see something like this, how do you feel about this, Katrina?
Well, at first when I was reading it, I thought I was reading something wrong. I'm like, this can't be. This, like, can't be. It got to be a joke. I'm like, so I had to go look it up and look at the video. And then when I seen it, I was like, wow. But the more that I look at it, I don't know if it could have been scripted or if it was real, because him getting up there smacking him, it's just the way everything played out. Like Chris Rock, he really didn't try and fade. He didn't try and walk, move off. And then Will just turned around and walked off stage and went and sat down. There was no security or no one even tried to get up and get him when they seen him even walking up there to Chris Rock. Because usually when things go on like that, there go be security coming to try and prevent anything. So that what made me seem like it was either staged or it was played. And yes, they was laughing, both him and Jada, but they were laughing at the joke that he was already telling before he easily came in with the G.I. Jane joke. And when he looked over and seen that she didn't like that comment, that's when he got up and went up there. Yes, it could have been handled professionally, but you don't know what have already been warned or done already been told way before everything had went down. I just didn't like the fact that children who look up at both of them as models end up seeing both of them acting where they are in public and to the world. They see them as role models. That's the part that I didn't like.
Let me ask you. I'm going to jump in and ask you, Katrina. So do you blame one or both of them?
I'm going to blame both. I'm going to blame both because Chris Rock should have already have known, or probably already known how the situation is or was at hand. It doesn't matter if he don't read or look on social media all the time, but I'm pretty sure him and Wilden already had a conversation about issues where he has spoken on his wife once before within this same matter dealing with the Oscars. Mm. So I just feel like it should have been, he should have did more, been more professional and not to even bring her name up in it or went some other way. And it should have been more professional on Will's end, or I felt like his wife should have just grabbed him and touched him and say, hold on, baby, it's all right. We can take care of that later.
And if like, I heard that voice him, tell me, hold on, baby, we can take care of it later, I would be paying full attention.
Absolutely.
But how about instead, Katrina, you shot one of those eyes over at me and said, you know, you gave me the side eye and said, sick him with your eyes.
I mean, I know it's the look that you would give and be like, I need your protection, or like, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
I understand, yes, I would get up and I'll go do that, but I still think it should have been handled professionally.
Okay. I'm going to turn to Nicole. Nicole, you and Katrina represent two-thirds of Michael's Angels panel
yes.
from the Vet Talk radio show. Nicole is out of Water Valley, Mississippi.
Yes.
And my very good friend, all of you guys, you have been very dear to me here at the Hair Radio Morning Show and to our fans. Now, I'm going to ask you the same question, Nicole. Did you see the coverage firsthand? Were you watching the Oscars that night by any chance?
I was not watching the Oscars that night, but I started receiving a phone call from a couple of my cousins, and they were telling me about it, and they were sending me the video clip. So when I watched the clip, my first thought was like, oh, my goodness, what in the world? Just total shock and just couldn't believe that this was happening and just very saddened by it.
Why were you saddened?
Well, for one is, I mean, that's big time. In Hollywood, that's big time. And it's big time for us as African-Americans being represented at the Oscars. You had Will Packer being the first African-American producer of the Oscars. You had three women hosts, two of which were African-American. You had, besides Will winning for King Richard, you had other black actors that won the Oscars. And the coverage from the Oscars, everything you hear about is it's about being slapped by Will Smith, and that's very sad. And just a slap to the African-American community and to Hollywood. It's just very sad.
Well,
very,
when you look
sad.
At this, do you blame, I'm going to ask the same question to you that I asked to Michael Hopkins, your illustrious host of the Vet Talk radio show, and to your colleague on the producing panel, Katrina. So how do you weigh in on this? Do you believe it's one person's fault or both individuals?
I actually believe it's both of their fault. Comedians, yes, they make jokes, but that joke was in very poor taste. Both Michael and Katrina had mentioned before, back at in the Oscars at 2016, when Chris Rock was a host, he made a joke about Jada then. So there was already some bad blood there because they didn't appreciate that joke then. And then to have this joke told here, which, like I said, I felt like was in very poor taste on Chris Rock's part, I blame him for that because it was in poor taste. But then also,
can you tell us what you mean by poor taste with the joke?
Well, for one, if there was already kind of bad blood and a joke being told before that both Jada and Will didn't appreciate, and then to come right back with, you know, another joke about the, you know, the movie G.I. Jane, and then with her going through her alopecia, which she has made public, but still, I just feel like it was in poor taste.
Okay, well, you're entitled. And so this is where I want to kind of jump on in. I appreciate the comments from everybody. First, let me just lead in with that. I got to say, guys, I don't know. I think I disagree with you a little bit there. I don't believe that it should their actions should be equated. I don't think they are equal. I think that, first, Chris Rock is a comedian. And right. to me, a comedian tells jokes. And right. Also, Jada and Will were seated right in the front row. And this is what typically happens to celebrities at entertainment award shows. It's kind of like you go to a comedy show. If you and your girls, your good gal pals and male buds go to a comedy show, now who in the world, if you know what I mean, you know you're not going to sit in the front row. And if you are going to sit in that front row, you know there's pretty good chance you're going to get someone telling some jokes about you sitting in the front row. That's one one thing. The other thing is I also would not equate it because that man is paid to tell jokes. He's paid to entertain right. people. And jokes, of course, may land to different people in different ways. That's what a joke does. There's usually a morsel of truth in jokes, and that's what makes it even more appealing and more understandable and laughable. I don't blame Chris Rock. He did not say, come up and slap me, Will, please. Will Smith took to violence. It was a violent act. And Will Smith got up out of his chair on his own volition. Yes, his wife might have shot him in the eye. But he got up out of his own volition and decided to take the matter into his own hands. And that is what, to me, that's why I don't blame him. I don't blame Chris Rock for telling a joke. That's what he's paid to do. But as far as Will Smith, if they were not happy about the jokes being told, then go sit in the back or don't even show up. And as far as Jada is concerned about her hair so much, if you really so concerned about your alopecia, then why didn't you wear a wig?
Right.
If you were going to be bothered when somebody's looking at your hair or calling you G.I. Jane, which G.I. Jane, when is G.I. Jane a bad thing? Demi Moore was beautiful in G.I. Jane, by the way. And the whole thing, in my opinion, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Maybe she it's not fair to be compared to her. I don't know. But that's not even the point. I don't think it really, to me, should have risen to that level. I thought when I first heard this slap, I thought it was about maybe an entanglement joke or something. Then I could have kind of understood it a little bit. That's what I really thought because I wasn't watching it either. And so when I first heard about it, I said, oh, he probably, I just truly assumed it was an entanglement joke because to me that would have been funny. It would have been fighting words, but it would have been funny. But when I heard about alopecia, or does she, you know, with short, she does look like G.I. Jane. I mean, that was some truth to that. What on earth? I'm still trying to find what the big problem was. So if she was sensitive to it, now she got up all the time and talked about alopecia. And don't have me break down alopecia for everybody, because I can. But in this case, I don't blame both of them. I blame Will. I'm proud of his accomplishments as a fellow Philadelphian. I really am. I'm proud of his accomplishments and proud that he finally won. But that was also overshadowed by this poor action, this poor choice of his action that night. So that's what I... So I'm sorry, that's how I weigh in. You guys don't have to agree with me on that. You can continue to think it was both. I think it was more so, I don't blame Chris Rock for telling a joke. Now, with a joke being said, if you say that joke, then you got to stand up for what you say, and you got to take the consequences of that. So that's my only thing for that. If that, you know, otherwise, don't say it. If you running scared, don't say it. But if you, you know, I don't think he felt that that was so threatening. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because to me, that's not that I don't know. I don't take it as being that threatening. You know, maybe Jada, she looked like he had just pretty much, you know, slapped her or something. She was really kind of in her feelings in that moment. And I was just surprised of that, because that was like, whoa. You know,
yeah,
I just was, right? Now, how do you feel?
That wasn't as much. No, I agree with you said exactly what you said. I agree. I don't think that you can take a professional comedian and laugh at his jokes 90% of the time, but then just, or 95% of the time, but then this one little incident, oh, now he's out of pocket for being what he's been his whole career. He's been a comedian. Whether he's funny or not to everybody, that's what he does. He, like you said, he gets paid to make jokes. And jokes sometimes do come at the butt of people.
Somebody
but
is the butt. That wouldn't
all,
be a
yeah,
joke
all the
if
time.
It wasn't a butt.
But they're jokes. They're jokes if there was a joke that you didn't like it, and then you know, you say something after the fact. But at the same time, every comedian has gotten up on stage and talked about some other celebrity. There's never been a stand-up that I've seen where a celebrity wasn't the butt of at least one joke. I mean, it happens all the time. So to me, for him to do all of that at the Oscars, like what was said earlier, that's one of the top, you know, award shows for Hollywood. And with black actors already catching a short end of the stick when it comes to the Oscars and Grammys and things of that nature, I just think that kind of set us back a little bit. And I can't see how it would be Chris Rock's fault. I mean, that's one of the things that's going on in America right now. Everything is so sensitive. Everybody's so sensitive. Nobody can just tell jokes and just speak however they speak. Everybody has to, oh, I can't say this, or I'll be canceled, or oh, I don't want to say this, or I'll lose my endorsements. Or if whatever happened to the freedom of speech thing. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a joke. If you laugh, or you don't laugh, but I don't think that it was supposed to have gone that far. And like I said, Will laughed at the joke. If he laughed at the joke and then saw that Jada didn't laugh at the joke, well, he can't take back the fact that he laughed. So I think maybe he was trying to save face a little bit, but at the end of the day, he still did a little bit too much. And one of the things that I noticed was watching all the other black actors when he was talking and making his little apology and everything. It kind of seemed like you know, they showed Denzel. Denzel kind of looked disgusted, just like. It wasn't a good look. You know, then he got up there and he was crying and doing all this. Man, like, at the same time, if we're going to tell Chris Rock that he has to stand on his thing, then Will, you too have to stand on your actions. You can't get up there and cry to the world. Oh, I'm too. This. Listen, you did what you did. If it was a mistake, it was a mistake. But at the time, you thought the door was right. You got to stand on something. So you can't get up there, oh my God, and cry to America. That's what he was in the memes for the first time doing. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, men can't cry, nothing like that. But in that situation, that just kind of seemed like a real punk action to me. Just, oh, now you want to get up here and cry because people are, it's too late for that. You did what you did. As a man, you got to stand on that. And to me, I don't think that he did that. I think that he let his emotions get too far away from him. Again, if he thought that he was taking up for his wife, then as everybody stated, that there was a time and a place for that. Like, you know, commercial break for one. We can go address the situation and during a commercial or after the show, after parties, whatever the case may have been, I'm pretty sure that they had more opportunities to cross paths and it could have been done that way. Now, whatever would have happened off camera, that's their business. But the fact that it was on camera for the whole world to see, I don't think that was a good look. I don't think so at all. And I don't blame Chris. I think Chris, he was telling jokes. He was telling jokes the whole show anyway. Well, from the parts that I saw. So I don't think that one little joke about G.I. Jane. I mean, it was a buzz cut or whatever the case was. That's what he was talking about. It was the haircut. I mean, it wasn't anything about her health. It wasn't anything about her condition or anything. He didn't say anything about the entanglement, and he could have. Because that's still very much fresh in America's minds. But he didn't. He just said something about her haircut. And to me, I think it got blown out of proportion. I mean, it did look like G.I. Jane's haircut. It didn't look like Wakanda's haircut because the women in Wakanda were bald. So I don't think that that would have been an accurate joke. It was, I believe, the joke would have been. I don't think you could have made it any worse or made it any better, but it was just it was what it was. You either laugh or you don't. But I don't think that it was called for all of what happened. I don't think so. But I don't blame Chris. I do think that was all Will. And also with what Nicole, I'm sorry, with one of the female parents, I'm not sure exactly which one said it, but I 100% agree. Her being his wife, and thinking about you know, maybe his better judgment maybe not being, you know, in play, or what he could stand to lose as far as his endorsements and his awards and things of that nature. Because I didn't even know that he won the award that night. If he won anything, then his actions definitely overshadowed the positive part about it. But you being a wife and supposed to be protecting and the same way that he's got up there and protected her name, maybe she should have, you know, like the female panel said, maybe she should have said, hey, baby, look, relax, we'll worry about it later.
That was Katrina.
You know, you got things to lose. Right, so I definitely agree with Katrina when she said that, because she didn't do that, and had she did that, it may have been a lot different. Like, if he was getting ready to jump up and she jumped up, whoa, wait, then maybe that would have been a lot more, you know, that would have been a whole different narrative to the whole situation.
We probably wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Right, and then maybe we could have been talking about the whole Will and Jada Black Love thing again, because she took up for him in the same way that he was getting ready to take up for her, but she thought about the bigger picture. You got things to lose. You may never be invited back to the Oscars again. You fought so hard to be here.
Exactly.
There's things that I think both of them as a couple or as a married couple should have done differently. I don't think that was Chris's fault, but I do feel if there was two people to blame, I would blame both Will and Jada.
Michael Hawkins, how do you feel about Statewide Chip's comment? He would have blamed both. Do you think Jada deserves some of the blame here at all? And Michael, you may not be aware of the entanglement stuff.
I guess because of the background and where I come from.
Michael, are you away from the mic?
I guess the background that I come from. Is this a lot better?
Yes, thank you.
And I'm guessing. Maybe I'm looking at it from a different generation. Maybe that's the way I'm looking at this.
Okay. Well, tell us.
And I'm looking at it from.
You might be missing that. Tell us what that perspective is from you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it from. And like Statewide said, it's taken us as a people. It has taken us so long to get into all of these things and these places.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Oscars, the Grammy, all of that stuff.
Grammys, right.
I grew up in a time where you didn't see a lot of African Americans winning all of these things and representing us. And we can,
right.
Like the Oscars, we can go back to Hattie McDaniels, back with Gone with the Wind and how she won, but she had to say a canned speech about her and winning and representing her people and all this other stuff. So
her career never even went anywhere after that win, by the way.
Yeah. And I think it took, till the 60s, Carrie? Until Sidney Poitier?
Well, right. She was the first to win an Academy Award. African-American for her role
right.
in Gone with the Wind. She played the maid, of course, everybody knows. I do want to say this, and Sidney Poitier went on to win he was the first to win male Academy Award. And I've got to say this. Let me just be real clear about this for Best Acting. The whole thing, and I don't know how you feel about this, Nicole. I don't know how you feel about this, Katrina. And I don't know how Statewide Chip feels about this or Michael Hopkins, but the hashtag. I don't know if you guys remember this. This was trending on social media a few years back, called Oscar So White. Now, I'm not trying to bring in the subject of race. I'm not trying to make anybody feel badly about race, but this was what was trending on social media, that Oscars did not have enough representation by people of color. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, I forget who it was, I think Nicole pointed out all the accomplishments tonight of the night in question, that so many folks who were connected with the broadcast were people of color. So I guess I should direct this to you, Nicole, then. How do you feel about that, Nicole, from Water Valley? Do you think, is Oscar still so white?
I do remember that hashtag, and I do feel, in general, it is white and has been white, but we have made, as African Americans, we've made great strides for our representation, and we had a lot of that representation more so than we've had in previous Oscars award shows, and we had that, you know, at this Oscars. That's what made this so important and so special, just because you had the first African-American producer of the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is not being talked about. Yes, it was mentioned when it talks, you know, in the story, but that's not the headline. The headline is what happened between Will and Chris Rock. And that's just so sad. And I agree that it is a setback for us, because who knows now what's going to happen for future Oscar shows.
Right. That part.
Will we still be invited? Will there be movies that will actually have actors that will actually win Oscars? Or will they take a second look and say, hey, you know, after what happened, you know, maybe we won't be
invited. Now they have an excuse. Right. Now they have an excuse for it to be Oscar So White. And then they have a reason to justify it being Oscar So White. And it's kind of sad, because it's sad to say, but we would have expected something like that to happen at the BET Awards or the Source Awards or something like that. You would have something like that where it's mostly us, for it to be happening at such a white collar event, like, you know, the Oscars and stuff like that doesn't happen. So now there's people, right. So now that gives them the room to say, well, see, this is why we kept it this way. This is why they're saying Oscars for white. But ever since it's been Oscars for white, there's never been no incidents like that. Now the first time that we have all these black folks in here who are nominated and winning things.
Well, the diversification, that's what they've been looking for. So it sounds like they found it.
Look at what happened.
Right? I've got to turn to you, Katrina. What do you say when you hear this? Is this what we should be known as the black folks? Are we prone to this kind of thing? I think not. But is this what the takeaway might be for some?
Yeah, that might be what the takeaway might be. But I still got a whole total different perspective on the whole video myself, even after, like I told you, I keep watching it. You know, even though I say I blame both of them, I still think it was staged. The more and more
you
look at it.
You still think it was staged? Now, hold it.
If you keep actually looking at it, he did not touch Chris Rock.
No.
You don't think so?
No, there were people there.
He did not touch it. I'm telling you, you can zoom it in, go real, real slow. And the ratings was down for the Oscars. And the only reason why I'm saying this is because anywhere else on BET, even on like BET and any other show, I'm telling you, security would get up if they see anybody
feel like they finna come
do an altercation. They did not get up. They did not jump up. Nobody moved when Will Smith got up and walked up there on that stage and go to Chris Rock.
Or when he walked off. He walked up there and walked off. Nobody's.
And he walked up here and he walked out. And he had a grin on his face when he walked out. I don't know if anybody paid attention, but he had a grin.
Because I remember that part myself. And I thought it was kind of odd.
That's why I thought it was.
Okay, so hold on. I just want to make sure this is clear. Is there anybody who does not agree with that theory? Nicole, you think it was also staged?
I didn't zoom in to see what Katrina is speaking of. I saw the video, but I didn't zoom in like she's speaking of. And I didn't think it was staged. I wouldn't think that the ratings were down for this historic accomplishment for so many African Americans. I wouldn't think that they would stage something like this, because this is all that's being talked about. It's not the accomplishments that were made.
Yes.
So I don't feel like it was staged.
Yeah, Katrina,
and I understand
let me
that, but you know,
there,
Chris Rock isn't the one. And it's a white, I'm sorry, but it's a white lady who does and writes all the jokes for the Oscars. I'm sorry, I have been doing my history. I have been reading up on it ever since all this and everything have been going on. I've been on different platforms listening and reading. So Chris Rock is basically reading off of a deal that he has to go off of and read from. Read why he's up there on stage. It's not no actually joke that he's wrote and told.
You know, the key card.
Someone else
is writing a joke.
Well, hold it. Let me say this. Chris Rock is a talented comedian, and he's well equipped to write his own jokes. Now, I do want to say this. It is not staged, and I'll tell you why it's not staged. First of all, the folks behind the Academy, you have to look at Katrina. These are kind of conspiracies that are floated out there on social media. But when you peel it back, you have to see who would benefit from staging an event. Now, you really don't have to worry about the ratings. Oscars is the biggest live event on TV, period, would it be? That's number one. Number two, because in recent years they were dealing with the hashtag #OscarsSoWhite, it's not a secret, and it's not being racist. This is what the facts are. And so they made special efforts over the last several years to address that. And they finally brought it to culmination in this particular recent event. Now, did something happen? Yes. But there's truly not a correlation between that and being black. There's not a correlation between that and in recent, a joke from, I believe, 6 years ago, it doesn't seem that that was the case, because no one would have sat there and laughed on camera at the joke if they felt in their feelings about a joke from 6 years ago. And there was no right-wing conspiracy that kind of thing, or that they had worked on it, and it was a Hollywood type of moment. You've got an audience full of people, and Will Smith while he won an Oscar, he's not quite that good of an actor to have pulled off this level of a stunt in which he could lose his Oscar. I think we might be confusing him with that other fellow. What's that fellow from that other TV show, Empire? Who claimed those two fellas? This is a different person that we're talking about here. And Chris Rock, they're both multimillionaires. Nobody's going to, to jeopardize their careers. So that's just a lot of conspiracy theory-ish type stuff that's floated out on social media. So I just want to set the record straight. It is not staged. We need to find out what happens from this point forward. If anything that I'm grateful about is that the conversation about alopecia is front and center. And how many days have you guys listened on the Hair Radio Morning Show? Is there ever a day that goes by that we don't talk about alopecia? I think we've been beating the drum about alopecia for 25 years.
Right.
And so, as I said in my statement that I issued and released on social media, I'm happy that the rest of the world has caught up to the Hair Radio Morning Show. So this is interesting, and we're going to continue to follow this as we move along. And in the interim, I want to thank Michael Hopkins of Vet Talk Radio Show to invite you to tune in every Tuesday at 8:30 Eastern for the special editions, of course, of the Vet Talk Radio Show. And Michael Hopkins, that's a part of our Hair Radio Morning Show wheel. So stay tuned for more information about that, or visit us at our website at HAIRadio.com and hit the Vet Talk Radio tab. And I want to thank Katrina and Nicole, both who worked with Michael on that show. And, of course, again, Michael Hopkins, the illustrious host of the program. Thank you, guys. And then with just as much fervor, I want to thank Statewide Chip, who's always a reliable colleague in this business. And Statewide, we're going to have to get you with your own show. You have a lot of great opinions and great things to say and share. So we'll have to talk about that, getting Statewide Chip his own broadcast out there at some point.
Oh, so we will. I'm excited.
All right. Awesome. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for being my guest today. Thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, too, Carrie.
Awesome.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Asway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I guess I can drop the all-new part since this broadcast is now 7 years old. The actual, we started Hair Radio, as you guys know, back in 1995 and turned it into a morning edition in 2015, January 5th, Monday morning, January 5th of 2015. It became a morning version. And that's Monday through Friday. So we're real excited. So glad to have you guys with us. Otto, we still have you with us, Otto. Otto Automatic.
Yes, Gary, how are you?
Doing great. Yeah, it's been a great show. It really has. I have to say, that was the first time that our fans have heard that broadcast of the perspective of Michael Hopkins and Statewide Chip and Katrina. I forgot to mention Katrina earlier on. Nicole and Katrina, two angels of Michael's. Nora couldn't be part of that. But all of them will be with us soon. But what really cracked me up about this, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but mine, well, first let me ask you, what did you think? What did
that
you think about this?
That was a incredible back and forth. I enjoyed that. I Statewide Chip's responses and thoughts were incredible. Michael joining in, Michael Hopkins and the girls, Katrina and Nicole. I'll tell you, now Jada Smith saying that wishes that Will didn't slap Chris Rock. And oh boy,
really?
Oh boy.
I didn't hear that. Is that making the rounds out there?
Yes, and he's in a tight spot, you know. That would be a heck of a dinner table to sit at, you know. Hi, honey, how was your day?
Yeah, so, that really would. I didn't hear that. That is amazing. I'm glad because I think, you know, to me, she probably should kind of, you know, be out there a little bit more in front and saying, violence is not the answer. I know she put out a statement, I saw it's time for healing. Well, you know, folks can look at that in different ways. But I think, you know, I think everybody needs to sit down, take a deep breath. And the good news about it, like I said, is that alopecia has come to the forefront and we get an opportunity to address the needs for everybody when it comes to hair loss. And across the board. And I'm so happy that we have a lot of great content already part of our archives here at the Hair Radio Boarding Show, where I can literally go in and look up some information that I know will bring great results to folks who are just learning about alopecia through the slap gate and through, you know, the big slap. So
I
think this is...
Yeah, I tell the fans, Otto, alopecia has touched my life. My
really?
Older daughter, yes, my older daughter had a circle appear on the top of her skull and took her to the, and it was, I'll tell you the experience for me as a father, but not only a father, but looking at my young girl, she was young, she was in her teens, 14, and the pain that I saw in her, you know, I didn't know how to do anything, you know, but it eventually went away. But that time, so I can share with the audience and the fans that I've had this experience in my own life with my daughter.
Wow. Well, Otto, we have to, you know, perhaps we get a chance on tomorrow's broadcast on Thursday's show to talk a little bit about that. Just from hearing you describe that a little bit, it sounds like what could possibly be, of course, and, you know, I'm not treating her and we haven't seen any pictures or anything like that, but it sounds like that is described to be areata, which is a form of alopecia. Usually, you know, especially that she had great, you know, treatment and folks who were able to, you know, immediately figure it out. But yes, the good news, and sometimes the stress, and I mean, there's so many different things that can cause it, but the good news often is that if it's caught and managed and with treatment and things like that, the hair can grow back in. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, and Jada's case, we'll talk about it. We'll hold everybody over till tomorrow's broadcast on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm glad your daughter's doing great. So that we want to make sure, and that's when she was a little girl. So we want to make sure.
Yeah, she's fine.
That, awesome. Okay, and thank you for sharing, Otto. Just like I have to thank our guest today. We had amazing folks who were on the show. I'm excited. I promised I'd tell you a little bit. We heard from one of our favorite guests, Peggy Dotson, who, you know, she's like, Carrie, I got to come back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I got to be on. And we've done a lot of wonderful things. You guys have heard great pieces from Cheryl Morrow, Statewide Chip, Eugene Davis, Mary Reed Johnson, Dr. Yolanda Raglan from FixYourFeet.com, former Mayor Wayne Smith of 12 years, my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, as well, has been on our show several times. Praneet James, a trichologist. We've had many trichologists on. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well tomorrow. Of course, Michael Hopkins joins us with his crew, the Angels. So we're real happy. Purple Barbie, let me just also shout out our announcing folks. You guys hear Purple Barbie in the morning. She's the one that gives that You know, it's time to rise and shine. You've heard here many times. She's been a big part of our success here in 7 years. So we care a lot about her. I talk to her often just so that you guys know. I also want to take a moment to mention another one of our announcers, Angela, who does our Vet Talk radio show, promos and all that wonderful good stuff, who does us, who records our, you know, you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio, so we love her as well. She does side things for us with content that we have over on our streaming network. She does a little podcast. You guys have to check it out. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't welcome our brand new on-air help right here, Otto, whose name is the same backwards and forwards. I've not ever remember seeing anybody with that that wonderful attribute. So, Otto, thank you. So, you know, we take a moment to let folks know, you know, this is a big effort. It's not just me. It's not just Otto. You know, it's a lot of folks who get up every day to be part of this, and it means a lot. So I just want to take a moment and mention that a lot of people are part of this operation, and this is why I get up early every day. This is what it's all about. Don't want to miss tomorrow's episode. Today was wonderful. Thanking everybody from Melba Moore as well, who was we were able to get her beef on today, and so many others. Just thank you, and we'll be back on tomorrow's broadcast. So Otto, thank you, and folks, we'll see you 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern for a brand new edition, and we'll get our 24-hour network really moving this morning. So if you want to go there in about a half hour to an hour, you'll hear a lot of new, wonderful stuff that you haven't heard before. So here's the outro. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Make it a good day, everybody. Thanks, Otto.
It's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at Fix Your Feet